Sunday, we started a series dealing with the seven feasts of the Lord, but dealing with it a little bit different way in that we want to understand the mystery of these feasts. As they were observed by the Jews and were told to be observed by them, by God, at a particular time on a particular day every year, they didn't really understand the full meaning of it until we got into the New Testament and when Jesus came. And then the mystery was revealed to us concerning these feasts. In Leviticus chapter 23 and beginning with verse 4, "These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at evening is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein." As we begin to look at these feasts, the feast of the Passover, as it was observed and telling the story and reminding them how that God delivered them out of bondage, out of Egypt, and as the Passover lamb was sacrificed, their blood was placed in a special place upon a house. They couldn't put it any place. They had to put it up on each side of the doorpost and at the top. And as you look at that from the New Testament, you see that that forms a cross from one line to the other side of the door, and then from the top, as you would have there the cross, telling us that Jesus would be our Passover lamb. And so in the New Testament, we find the mystery explained when John the Baptist saw Jesus and pointed at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And then we noticed also concerning how that the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Jesus is a Passover lamb for us. Now, that feast was to be observed every year on the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish calendar. This is April on our calendar. So every year on the 14th day. Now, they've changed that down through the years. Now, they observe the feast by the moon. And as to the full moon and so on and the different parts. And it changes from one month to another. But when you would observe it the way God would have it to, that feast day would not always be on the same day of the week every year. We found in the New Testament how that Jesus said he desired to eat the Passover with the disciples. This was the third Passover he was observing with them. He looked forward to that particular year that the Passover would be observed, because on that year, the Passover on the 14th day of the first month would be on Thursday. This was very important. Now the next feast is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And as they would observe this, and as you'd read the instructions throughout the Bible concerning the unleavened bread, they were to eat it so many days. While you had the Feast of the Passover continuing on after it started on the 14th of that month, it continued on for a number of days. The unleavened bread began the next day after that, on the 15th. And so you had both feasts continuing together in this, and sometimes, even in the New Testament, they were observing them together and would call them the same. Sometimes they'd call it unleavened bread, sometimes they'd call it the Passover. But yet God kept a difference between the two. The question that we ask is, why unleavened bread? As you go through the Old Testament and search the word leaven, you will not find any description, anything giving as to the symbolic meaning of leaven in the Old Testament. Nothing is mentioned there. You might have some traditions, some thoughts that came from different people and different ideas about what leaven might represent, but it's not mentioned in God's Word, the meaning of it, until you get to the New Testament. Notice in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25. We find the reason for this and what God is doing and letting us know that today we can understand the mystery because Jesus fulfills all prophecy and gives us better understanding of what God is doing for us and what he has done for us and what he will do for us in all seven feasts. So in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 25, Colossians 1 verse 25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. Now, we see we can understand why leaven? Why unleavened bread? Why this type of feast? And just what was it dealing with? And what does it really mean? Well, we get to the New Testament. We find the symbolic meaning of leaven. Look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Jesus, in working with the disciples, comes to a point where he uses leaven symbolically. And you'll notice in Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, in the meantime, when there were gathered together innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto the disciples, first of all, beware, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now we find leaven used in relation to hypocrisy. We find leaven now is symbolic of sin and begin to deal with that in the New Testament. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, we have some more information concerning the leaven as well as the Passover. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, we understand that. You put a little bit of leaven in the dough and it goes throughout the entire dough. Jesus, our God, is referring to this. And then he says in verse 7, God does purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Now we have the Passover and the unleavened bread related to us and the meaning of it. Jesus is our Passover. He is the Lamb to be sacrificed for our sins, and he did that upon the cross. On that feast day of the Passover, Jesus was crucified. Oh, what a marvelous picture that God has given us. But they didn't understand that until you get to the New Testament where we have the revelation of the mystery. Now in verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now we find additional information about leaven, how it is now symbolic of wickedness, and it is symbolic of malice. And that unleavened would be without wickedness, without sin, without malice that would be involved in our lives. And we're to do this. Well, it's unleavened bread that we're talking about. That's the feast of unleavened bread. Notice, if you will, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19. Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, we find the symbolic meaning of bread. You'll find throughout the Bible where Jesus is very clear, and he says, I am the bread of life. Then he comes to the part of observing the Passover with his disciples. On this last Passover that he was to observe before he would fulfill it upon the cross, Jesus institutes what we call the Lord's Supper or the Last Supper, showing the fulfillment of that Passover would be with the death of Jesus, his burial and resurrection. And in doing this, he tells us about especially the bread. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, we find leaven is symbolic of wickedness. Bread is symbolic of the body of Jesus. Unleavened then is talking about the sinless body of Jesus. And so in the feast of unleavened bread, it was really talking about the sinless body of Jesus, of where Jesus would come, born of a virgin, and his blood would not be that of Adam, but be of the Heavenly Father. Sinless blood, pure blood, and his body would be sinless, in which God would accept his blood for the remission of our sins and his body for the sacrifice for us. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 48. John chapter 6 and verse 48. Here again, we find that where Jesus emphasizes concerning the meaning of bread and what is involved with this in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. Jesus said, "I am that bread of life. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which cometh down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." What a marvelous picture now we have. Here they didn't understand that in the Old Testament. They observed the feast every year as they were told to and exactly as they were to observe it, so that the meaning would be there, that would be explained in the New Testament and the mystery revealed that it was talking about Jesus, that he would come, be born of a virgin. He would die upon the cross for our sins. And then the second feast, he would be buried, his body sacrificed. But it's a sinless body. Jesus took our sins upon him. He bore our sins, but he did not commit sin. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here God explains it very clearly for us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. What a marvelous picture that God gives for us. In these feasts, as they were to be observed exactly on the day that God said for them to be done, and in the order that God said for them to be done. The first feast is that of the Passover, the second feast of unleavened bread. Now, get this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For even hitherto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Jesus offered his sinless body that bore our sins. He didn't commit sin. Unleavened bread. And how the picture now becomes clear. But there's something else about the feast. When they observed the feast of unleavened bread on the first day was a high Sabbath. Now you had the regular Sabbath. The regular Sabbath was the seventh day of every week. On that Sabbath, every week of every month, every year, they would observe that Sabbath. They were not to do any work. They were not even to cook. They had to prepare their meals the day before on that. But then, once a year, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on the first day of that feast, which would be the 15th, they were not to do any work. Though they could prepare food, they could not do any work. And so that takes us now to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. A great mistake is made because people do not understand the feast and how it was and what God wanted us to know but refused to really learn. In John chapter 19 and verse 31. In John chapter 19, verse 31. Now keep in mind, Jesus must fulfill all of the prophecies to the very T. Exactly as God said it would be done. Jesus told the disciples, he said, those are not his disciples, but the Pharisees and others who were questioning him, and they said, "We want a sign." He said, "There's only one sign will be given to you. That's the sign of Jonah." Jonah was 3 days and two nights. Is that right? No. He was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus would be 3 days and three nights. 3 nights he would spend in the tomb. On the third day he would come out of that tomb. But down through the years, Our churches, denominations have been very strong in it, saying that Jesus was crucified on Friday. And my, we have big deals about that. Well, think about that. If Jesus was crucified on Friday, then you'd have Friday night, Saturday night. Wait a minute, that's only two nights and he's raised on the third day. That doesn't fit, and that's not right. Someone would want to say, well, he's not really the Messiah. That leaves a doubt and a question. God leaves no doubt or question in our minds. Now take a look at this in John chapter 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now I'm going to pause there. That's where everybody stops. Okay, Jesus is on the cross, and he's not to be on there on the Sabbath day. Well, the Sabbath day is Saturday. So therefore, he was crucified on Friday, and he was buried then, and in the tomb Friday night and Saturday night. But wait a minute. That's not all of the verse. Let me read it again to you, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs should be broken and that they might be taken away. We come now to the place where, as Jesus was on the cross, he could not hang on the cross on the Sabbath day or the high Sabbath day. Whenever you would have the feast of the Passover, if it fell on Tuesday, then Wednesday would be the feast of unleavened bread and you'd have the high Sabbath. And then on Saturday, you'd have the regular Sabbath. The next year, if it fell on Wednesday, the Passover on Wednesday, then on Thursday, you'd have the high Sabbath and so on. And so depending on what day the Passover fell of the week, as to whether or not you'd have two Sabbaths that week, that year. Jesus did not say the first Passover he observed with them, this is the one that'll be, or the second one, but waited until the Passover would be on Thursday, and the high day, the high Sabbath, would be on Friday, and the regular Sabbath on Saturday. That would put Jesus in the tomb Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. So simple, yet we ignore the Word of God. We ignore the teachings that is there and what needs to be done with that. As you go on to read the remainder of this in John chapter 19, verse 23, or pardon me, verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That's very important of that order. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled, a bone of him should not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which was at the first, came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100-pound weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews to bury him. Sepulchre, wherein never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Now this is brought out in the Lord's Supper. In the matter of the order, and we have the explanation now of the Passover and of unleavened bread, indicating the sinless body of Jesus that would be sacrificed for us and had to be buried on a special day in fulfillment of these prophecies. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. You've heard this over and over again, but now in relation to the feast days. We see now the fulfillment. Whereas before they observed the Passover, they observed the unleavened bread, and next week we'll talk about the Feast of First Fruits. And all of these to be in order and on a particular time in relation to each other, that Jesus would be in the tomb 3 days and three nights, fulfilling the scriptures as God had given it to us, and knowing of Jesus as the Messiah. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered you unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Here we have the unleavened bread, the sinless body of Jesus. A shame today, many of our churches are not paying any attention to that, and there are some churches that are using leavened bread. Notice some of the artwork that is in published for churches to use in bulletins. You'll see a raised loaf of bread and a cup of juice by representing the Lord's Supper. No, it's to be unleavened bread. Jesus was sinless, and he took our sins upon him. And then in verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus shed his blood upon the cross that you and I could have forgiveness of sins. His body was buried that you and I could have everlasting life physically as well as spiritually, as his body was raised on the feast of the first fruits, in which we'll talk about later. But now notice, what's the conclusion of all of this? What does all this do with our life? We're so thankful that Jesus died for us. He was buried and raised again the third day. What effect should this have on us? Notice the next verse, verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." John mentioned had been preaching the series on the return of our Lord and Savior. It can happen any day. And my, how the scriptures is full of that. And we need to be expecting Jesus to come. When they observed the Passover, they were to observe it with their suitcase packed, with their coats on and shoes on their feet, to leave immediately. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we are to observe it with everything in order, ready for Jesus to come. We're to observe it, signifying that we recognize his death till he come, and that could be today. But then go on to verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." The Feast of Unleavened Bread not only talks about the sinless body of Jesus, but is talking about how that we are to repent of our sins. Verse 30, "For this cause many are weak of him, and to be true to him." And then it says in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So we come to the matter of the Passover. Yes, Jesus died for our sins. Unleavened bread, he was buried. And on that particular day, in which it would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, what are we to do now? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And now notice again in verse 7. "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven." That's talking about us now. We're not to keep it with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We're to repent of our sins. We're to turn from ungodliness. And we're to follow God. We're to obey his word. Not that we would be perfect, but we can be a lot better than what we are. Amen? We have a challenge before us. And this is given not only telling us what Jesus has done for us, but if we will not repent of our sins, then we're laughing at the death of Jesus upon the cross. We're making fun of the unleavened bread and saying it doesn't matter to us when it does, and that we need to be obedient to God's word. We need to realize that we can have forgiveness of our sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and obedience to his word, we can live a life that glorifies God and brings honor to him and not to ourselves. Where we grow in God's power to have that unleavened bread, to have that life that would show the holiness and the righteousness of our Heavenly Father. And so as we look at these feasts and realize now the mystery of them and how it not only applies to Jesus but applies to us and what we can do and what we need to do. Just as this choir in playing these instruments, I'm amazed at what they're doing with that and all these different instruments and the sound that comes from that. I mean, I'd be a mess involved in that. You talk about one being out of tune on that, and what a horrible sound it would give when you and I will realize that we are not to have that leaven in our lives. We're to repent of the sin that is there. We can be in harmony just as this handbell choir was, each one doing our part, giving glory and honor. And the only way you can live that life is by the power of God. And praise God, we can. God has spoken to your heart tonight. It could be that you need to come and trust Jesus as your Savior. He died for you, paid the price for your sins. And you can have forgiveness through his shed blood if you'll believe that he died, was buried, and raised again the third day. You need to follow the Lord then in believers' baptism, fellowship, this church. If that's your decision, you come and let us know. We'll be glad to help you. It could be you've done all of that, but you've got some leaven in your life, unconfessed sin, and you need to get that leaven out. You do it through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and where you ask God to forgive you, and he said he would be faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has spoken to your heart. Will you make that decision for Jesus? May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.